Hey, join 710 ESPN tonight. Today, Tiza and White Claw, Clearman's Galley. Our Dodger watch party will be there from 5 to 8 p.m. giving away prizes, tickets, and more. Clearman's Galley, located 7215 Rosemead Boulevard in San Gabriel. Have I ever been there?
Yes.
Okay. Special thank you to Tiza. Get more focus and energy in your daily life with Tiza Nutrient Pouches. Visit TizaEnergy.com and make your mouth happy.
All right, so Draymond Green has been in the news lately.
Oh, yeah.
And he's now taken a leave from the Warriors. Of course, Michael knows this situation well because Clay's up there. And Clay, Draymond, Steph, and Andre Iguodala are only the second quartet in the last 50 years to win four titles.
Wow.
The other one, Kareem, Magic, Cooper, Rambis, were the last ones to do it. But Stephen
what
A.
What about the Spurs?
They had three.
Three, that's right.
They had
right.
Parker, Ginobili, and Duncan.
Right.
Stephen A. Smith said something that, if you're a Laker fan, makes you open your eyes. Here's what he said.
I can tell you right now that Draymond Green is expecting this to be his last year in Golden State. Now, he want to be a Laker. He ain't going to tell anybody that. But don't think I don't know. He'd prefer to be a Laker if he got to leave Golden State.
So let's start there. First of all, let's you've got an insider's view or closer to it certainly than we are of the Draymond Green punch of Jordan Poole. Did that warrant penalty, suspension, anything like that?
No. Our guys have punched each other, and anybody who's played in this league know that fights have happened in practice before without meriting a suspension. Now, if he would have broke his jaw, like what happened with Miritich and Bobby Portis.
Portis.
I think a couple years ago.
Games.
Yeah. Now, if he would have injured Poole, I would have said, yeah, you got to suspend him. Broken jaw, something like that, caused Poole to miss games. Yeah, definitely suspend him. But since it wasn't an injury to Poole except an injury to his pride, no, just a fine would be sufficient.
You know, here's what I don't understand. We'll get to the Laker part of this in a minute. But why wouldn't Light Years Lacob do whatever he could? Because money's not an object.
Right. They print money up there.
Why doesn't Draymond Green at least deserve, because he's still an unbelievably productive player and heart and soul of the team, some sort of legacy contract? Like, why wouldn't you honor what he has contributed to your organization towards four championships with a contract at this point?
Well, because of who's coming up and needs to get paid.
So what?
Wait a minute.
They can afford to pay everybody.
Hold on,
They own that arena. Making that arena they own.
Right. I'm not disputing that. I think that they probably have a better financial situation than any team in the league. But the problem is you got to pay Poole.
So?
You've got to pay Clay.
So?
You got to pay Steph.
And
if you got to pay Draymond.
Big deal.
So what do you do with all the young guys that are coming up? What do you do with Moses Moody? What do you do with Wiseman? What do you do with the next wave? What do you do with Kuminga?
Everybody ain't going to make $30 million a year, Island. I mean, they're going to be good players, but not everybody's going to be worth $30 million a year. They'll get their money too. But you got to remember too, what's going to happen with the TV contracts in a couple of years? What's going on with all this streaming services now? They're making all this extra
gambling
income.
Money coming.
Yeah, gambling money.
Are you kidding me? The NBA is Fort Knox calls the NBA for
Plus,
loan.
Does Joe Lacob actually own Chase Center?
Yes, him and Peter Gruber.
Well, I mean, come on. He owns Chase.
Exactly.
He built his own arena.
Concerts.
He can certainly pay Draymond Green.
That thing is booked year-round making money.
Yeah.
They can afford to. This is a special team. Do not be like the Chicago Bulls, Golden State. I know you're listening to me. Don't be like the Bulls and break them up too soon. This team has a chance to win two or three more rings. You keep this team together. Plus, like you said, with the young boys coming up behind Draymond, Clay, and Steph, they can age gracefully because you have so much help behind them.
I'll tell you one thing. After doing the game the other night, Michael missed it because he was attending a funeral. But the one thing I noticed about the Warriors is, man, they've got a whole second wave of people that are just there.
Like Wiseman. And
they're all coming. Mm-hmm. Well, Poole is the best.
Poole
is
great. Game.
Poole, I mean, Michael, what do you think? I think Poole is pretty close to Stephen Clay. Maybe if he's not there yet, he'll be there in 2 years.
Yeah, he's special, man.
I mean, he was just shaking people, and nobody could check him.
Moses Moody can shoot almost as good as Clay and Devin Booker. That's another young boy is playing. Kuminga is...
And by the way, Moses Moody is 20. Yeah. Kuminga is 20.
Well, their scouting
Wiseman
operation
is 20.
Their scouting operation must be unbelievable.
Yeah, they know how to find talent. They they hired Jerry West up there at one time, remember? Jerry taught him well while he was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Bob Myers has done a great job.
I actually think I was pleasantly surprised that the Lakers beat him because they played a lot of their players. They played Steph and they played, you know, Poole, and those guys played great. They didn't have Clay, didn't have Draymond. But I think the Warriors can win it again.
Yeah, if they stay healthy, they might pick to win it again. If they stay healthy. Of course, you can say that about everybody. Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody. I think, the Warriors are certainly right in the mix of things. The general managers tend to think Milwaukee is going to win
it all. Yeah, Milwaukee will be a threat in the East.
They're going to be really good. Giannis might be the best player in the league.
Yeah.
But if Anthony Davis stays healthy, guys, I mean, I know that's a huge if, and I know people are tired of hearing it, but he's only played two preseason games, and he's been dominant.
Yeah, he needs to get this.
In these two games.
I need to talk to him, of course.
28 points and 16
Michael, what are you going to say to Anthony
Davis? When you get over this hang-up or this phobia about playing center, who do you have to guard anymore? Plus, when you did play center in Philadelphia, you killed Embiid.
Right.
And you destroy Jokic. He can't score on you, the two best centers in the game. So it ain't like you're guarding Hakeem one night, Patrick Ewing the next night, David Robinson. Oh, look, here comes Artis Gilmore. The center position is the weakest position
in
basketball now.
Our only hope against guys like Jokic and Embiid and those guys.
Here's why Michael's right. Look at our team if AD plays the five versus if he doesn't.
Correct.
If AD plays the five, you have AD, LeBron, Westbrook. You can either – Kendrick Nunn's been great. So you could start Kendrick Nunn in the backcourt or Patrick Beverley or Austin Reeves, who Michael is very high on because he plays both sides of the court and he's athletic. I think those are – I'd rather see Reeves – Beverly, none on the court than one of the big centers.
Yeah.
And it gives you just so much more positionality if AD plays the five.
Plus, I mean, if you go back, if you want to go into the numbers and into, you know, all that analytic stuff, the most successful Lakers lineups all include AD.
Right.
If you look at the combinations of players, all the best lineups include AD at the five. So, for me, I mean, I don't know, is that phobia still exist? Is he still that way about playing the five?
Every time I've talked to him about it, he said he doesn't care.
I hope so.
He'll play the four, he'll play the five. I know originally, one of the reasons, Michael, he was not very gung-ho to be a permanent five, is he thought the wear and tear in his body would be more. But I think you make a good point. There's only three really big. There's Jokic, there's Embiid, and there's Gobert.
He's not a threat on offense.
Right, but you got to go in there and box him out with him for 48
like playing
minutes.
Shaq, big deal.
Right, but let's say there's four dominant centers in the league, and AD would be the fifth.
Yeah.
That means there's... What, 25
guys
you know, that you can
you basically
do what you
has,
want.
We used to call it, you got the night off, meaning you don't have to guard anybody tonight because that guy's a stiff, you know, basically.
Right.
That's how we used to tease each other. So you got the night off tonight. You don't have to guard Kareem or you don't have to guard Artis Gilmore. You got the night off.
I think what AD liked was when JaVale McGee played center and he played the four and they won the title, that was a perfect scenario for him. So he's looking for another JaVale McGee. But if you don't have him, why not play the five? And then you can get Austin Reeves on the court.
He'll be the third, possibly the second best center in the game at five. He starts at five. Why not play him at five? This makes no sense.
All right. So last night, game one, NLDS, Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers do win. What was fascinating about the game, and maybe there's some concern in this, the Dodgers lit up Mike Clevinger.
Right.
And then after 2 2/3 innings, they did not have another hit.
What was
that
up
game.
With that?
No hits after the third inning, right?
Yep, after the third inning.
Weird.
It is weird. Trey Turner was just smacking the baseball, though. Ripping the ball.
Him and Will Smith. Yeah, two
Will
doubles,
Smith,
right?
Another one. I thought one of those Will Smith balls was going to leave the yard.
What's your guys' theory on why Trey Turner doesn't have a contract?
Because he's waiting.
It's him. He wants to go to market?
I think it's because he doesn't. Is he a Boris client?
No, he is not a Boris client, but he said before
CAA,
the season.
I think.
Yeah, he has CAA, but what he has said is that he does not negotiate during the season.
Which I don't understand.
And because of the lockout before the season, they weren't able to have conversations. So nothing can happen until after the season. There's no reason why he wouldn't sign here unless he wants to go back east.
Unless he doesn't want to be here.
Right. Well, I mean, why would you not want to be here?
I assume the fact. Look, Atlanta the other day signed that Strider kid, the pitcher.
Yeah. Great deal.
Right in the middle of the playoffs.
6 for 75.
But he does not negotiate during the season.
Well, he doesn't have to. That's what an agent.
You mean the Dodgers said
he has to agree.
The Dodgers came to Turner and says, "Hey, it's 350 for 10 during the season. He wouldn't take it.
He's not negotiating during the season.
What?
He's focusing on the season. That's what he said.
I suspect he's not going to be here next year. I suspect we're watching.
Boy,
the...
I hope not.
He's an unbelievable player. You know who Dodger fans hate more than anybody?
Machado.
Why?
Oh, just because he left here?
No, not just because he left.
He doesn't hustle.
Because when he was here, he's like, hustling's not my cup of tea.
If you should be glad he's gone, then, right?
Did you guys have any problem with Machado on that double play trying to take out the second baseman?
Absolutely.
I didn't. That's what I would do.
No, it's you're breaking the rules.
Yeah.
It is a rules violation. He slid very, very wide away from the base. That's the Utley rule.
So what happened, Michael, was they hit a hot shot to Gavin Lux.
I saw that. Game was on the line.
Yeah, he threw it to Trey Turner, and Machado probably went, what'd you say, 5 feet out of the baseline to try and take Turner
out?
He
could reach second base.
Right.
But reach it.
But he was off the baseline.
He was off the baseline.
Yeah,
now,
he was trying to take Turner out.
If they change the rule, you can't do it.
Yeah, if he gets Trey Turner,
he's
out. He tried to hook him.
Right, but if he gets him, he's out. That's the Utley rule.
Yeah.
He tried to slide wide.
But I would try I'm just trying to keep my team out of a double play. I think I would try it.
Yeah.
If they call me out, they call me out. I'm going to be out anyway.
But this is exactly why they invented the Chase Utley rule, exactly for things like this.
But but that's a good point.
A dirty play.
He's out at second, but if he interferes with Turner, the guy at first should be out too.
Well, he was going to be out anyway. That was a hot smash.
But if he interfered with Turner, Turner's throw might have been errant.
Right, they just ran that 30 for 30 about the Dodgers-Yankees rivalry.
Right.
And there was a play in the 78 World Series where Reggie Jackson knew he was dead to right, and he just moved his hip, and the ball hit his hip. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I thought what Machado did last night was similar to that.
Yeah.
Like, well, if they call me out, they'll call me out, but I at least can mess this up.
Can we all agree that Dave Roberts was perfect in his orchestration of the bullpen last night?
Yeah, I'm surprised that you are okay, because you've always said, no, everybody has a role. You're like
lefty. I want lefty. And he had a string of lefties coming
up. So would you have had a problem where, like, Gratterall came in and got Machado out on one pitch?
Correct.
If they would have brought Gratterall back to pitch the beginning of the ninth, would you be okay with that? He got Machado out at the end of the eighth.
But I think he had Martin circled as the guy that was going to pitch last.
Right, but what I'm saying is Gratterall
got Machado out on one pitch,
and that was it.
But that was his job. His job was to get Machado.
Michael, my argument, you make it in basketball a lot, is if a guy's hot, if a reliever's hot, and he's only throwing, like Bergman and I were texting last night during the game, Greg, who was it that had only thrown 19 pitches?
Alex Vesey.
And Vesey was getting everybody out. Mm-hmm. I'd leave him in. I mean, I don't...
Did you have a problem with them pulling Vesia for Gratterall?
I know what they were doing. They were trying to get a righty-righty matchup, which I was okay with. But had they left Vesia in, Vesia had gotten 5 straight outs, right? Nobody reached base against Vesia.
But
I gave up one hit. He gave up a hit.
Yeah, he did give up a hit. But he put him in there because they were facing Cronenworth and Grisham and Jerkson Profar. Jerkson?
Jerkson, yeah.
Yeah.
Jerkson Profar.
The Jays there.
Who bats offhanded or is better from that side.
My argument is, and Michael makes this argument in basketball a lot, coaches marry themselves to rotations. I think baseball managers marry themselves to roles. Like, he's our eighth inning guy. He's our ninth inning guy.
That's not the case this year.
I don't ever think it should be the case. I think if you've got a pitcher who's...
You don't think there should be I'm sure if Dave Roberts... in his heart of hearts was asked, he would say, I wish I had somebody to come out in the ninth inning.
Right. But what I would say, like, tonight, if he brings Vesey, he might bring, like, Trinan in or somebody else. Vesey only threw 19 pitches, so he probably could pitch tonight. If he brings Vesey in the eighth, and Vesey goes 1-2-3, gets everybody out, I have zero issue with bringing him in to start
the ninth.
But
you understand, guys are different.
Right, but I'm just saying, I know you and I are different on this, but I would bring Vesey in, you would bring the closer in.
I'm saying pitchers are different. Yeah. Like, some guys are good coming out for another inning. A guy like Blake Trinan.
Well, Vesey did it last night.
Right.
Yeah.
Blake Treinen is not that guy. They're not going to do that with Blake Treinen. If he retires the side on three pitches, I don't think he's coming back. I think they've got him set up for one inning. And what happens with the pitcher is you crank down, and not everybody is able to crank back up. Kenley Jansen was able to do it. He was able to get five out saves on a pretty regular basis. So it has been done. But I do understand what Dave Roberts was doing last night.
Right. I love the way he did that. But I marvel, in basketball, the way this manifests itself is a coach will say, well, I got to stick the rotations. That way everybody knows when they're going in and they can prepare to go in the game. Well, if the guy you're going in for just hit five straight jumpers, don't take him out.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make any sense, but the coach would say, well, that's his time. He knows he's going to be out there, and I'm taking him out. You taught me something, Michael, years ago. You don't get tired when you're hot.
That's right.
You just don't.
Nope.
Right.
And if you've got it going, if you're dealing on the mound like Urias was in the World Series 2 years ago, they let him pitch four innings. Like, if they bring
he's built to pitch four innings.
So if they bring Dustin May in to pitch the seventh.
He's a starter. He's built to pitch multiple innings.
All right, but if they bring him in to pitch the seventh, and you've got, let's say you're setting up, you're setting up Treinen to pitch the eighth and Martin to pitch the ninth.
Right.
If you bring Dustin May in the seventh.
Yeah.
And he gets three guys out.
Correct.
I'd bring him out in the
eighth. No, he's a starter. He can pitch as many innings.
Right, but would you go?
You can stretch him for four if you want to.
Would you go to Treinen in that role? Treinen, you're setting up Treinen to pitch the eighth.
Yes.
But Dustin May goes 1-2-3 in the seventh. You've warmed up Treinen.
He's a starting pitcher. I can absolutely stick with Dustin May.
And then you just tell Treinen to sit out.
Right, because that's those guys' jobs. Those guys, their job is actually, in the case of Urias, who pitched out of the bullpen in the 2020 World Series in game number 6, which was the clincher, he was on the mound for multiple innings.
Right.
Starters are able to go multiple innings. Some relievers are not able to go multiple innings. Well, obviously, Vessi is a guy they've done that
with.
I think
a lot of it depends on how many pitches they've thrown too, right?
Yeah, it does. And also lefty-righty, they're looking for those splits. My question, though, is if Machado had taken Gratterall yard, or even, let's say, he doubled.
Yeah, you only saw one pitch.
Right.
Yeah.
He doubles.
Okay.
Did Dave Roberts do something wrong?
No, but I might take Gratterall out.
Right.
You can't take him out.
Three batter rule?
Three batter rule, yeah. So
the only reason he was allowed to come out was because it was the end of an
inning.
Correct.
End of an inning, you're allowed to come out. But it's like, you do all this stuff, and if it doesn't work, you're a dumb-dumb. And if it does work, you're a genius.
Yeah, I like the way they use the bullpen.
I thought it was fantastic. Game two tonight, it's Yu Darvish versus Clayton Kershaw. Excited for that one. And Dodgers got a chance to put him away. I mean, you essentially put him away if you beat him tonight. Dodgers are going to win one of the next three.
Yeah.
Especially if they get the lead in San Diego early.
Exactly.
If they win tonight.
Exactly. All right.
Are you thinking about going down there?
Friday night? No, we're in Sacramento.
We're in Sacramento,
Friday.
But Saturday, Sunday would be games 4 and 5.
Saturday, we got big boxing matches on. Deontay Wilder's fighting, so I think I'll be watching that. What? It's a big fight. And plus, Clarissa Shields is fighting Sarah Marshall. That's another big fight.
Oh, forgetting Sarah Marshall.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Can't do that.
Yeah. Caleb Plant versus Andrew Durrell. Three
married.
Big fights.
Oh, it's Matt Ryan, not the one who plays for the Lakers. Matt Ryan, the football quarterback.
Yes.
His wife's maiden name is Sarah Marshall.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. Yeah. Coming up next for you, Mookie Betts has got a brand new documentary about Jackie Robinson. That's going to be on FS1 tomorrow night.
When baseball really started.
And we will give you a little taste of what that documentary is like coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin. And the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN, day after the Dodgers take a commanding 1-0 lead in the NLDS. Is it fair to call it a commanding lead?
No.
I think it's commanding.
Well, what happens if the Padres win tonight? They win tonight.
I don't even entertain that premise.
They win tonight, the Dodgers have a commanding lead in the series. Turn your mic on.
Yes, Michael.
Mason, after 2016, I never overlook anything anymore.
2016, the Warriors were up three games to one.
Oh, yeah, that's
game
right.
Seven. Whoa, right. Why the Warriors lose this game seven at home? You're right.
Yeah, right. Yep.
So I don't take nothing for granted anymore.
Yeah, baseball's weird. That
it is.
The chances are still not zero that the Padres will win.
You know, so, I was thinking about something. You just played that Jackie Robinson thing.
Yes.
You know, Jackie Robinson was good enough to be a professional football player or a professional baseball player. He just chose baseball.
Yep. Did he run track, too?
Yeah, and he was super fat. I mean, he was basically Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders before those guys. Now, if somebody comes along today that is Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders, so much money, Michael, is being paid to these guys. Mm-hmm. You think before you and I leave the planet, we'll see another two-sport professional athlete?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. You'll see some guy come along, maybe in the next couple of years, who can play both baseball and football at the highest level.
I mean, Deion used to play. One time he played for the Falcons on a Sunday
afternoon
and then went to the Braves game that night.
Didn't play in the game, but he went to the game.
Yeah.
Although we live in an era of specialization.
Yeah.
And, you know, a guy like Kyler Murray would have been one to play baseball and football.
Yep.
But wait a minute. Could you do it if you're a quarterback?
That's tough. That is really tough.
If you're a quarterback.
Why not? Quarterbacks just throw during the offseason, right?
But didn't Deion miss some football games?
Yeah, he missed some games.
To play in the World Series?
He missed some games.
No, he didn't miss
World
football
Series games.
He would jet. The games would be in the afternoon for football, and the series games would be at night, so he can get there on a private plane.
Yeah, but could you do that if you were a quarterback?
Sure. Why not?
That'd be hard.
One o'clock, that'd be tough. 1 o'clock game on a Sunday.
Well, if you're paying your quarterback $50 million a year.
You're not going to get hurt in baseball. Come on.
Yeah, but not. But your focus is not on football.
No, where's your focus
anymore?
In other words, if I'm paying you $50 million a year, where is your attention?
Oh, you see, that's just it. If you're that great of an athlete, you can handle it mentally.
All right, so Mookie Betts is now moving into production and has his own special that is going to air tomorrow night on FS1. It is called Jackie Robinson, Get to the Bag, and here's a little taste of that.
Our cameras visit Ebbets Field, Brooklyn. Jackie connects for a home run.
We all know the story of how Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in baseball.
Jackie wallops a home run into the lower left field.
And what he was able to accomplish on the field.
Robinson led the Dodgers to a pennant in his rookie year.
He was the National League's most valuable player.
This is the story of Jackie Robinson that you don't know.
Take it upon myself to speak on my unspokens. For every barrier set and the ones broken. Ebbetsville uniform, made it where my home is. Where the unthinkable went from the unnoticed to every eye in this country channeling one focus. Sight set on me, but let me breathe deep enough to put my anchor in a bottle. Smile at your disgust just to repeat it tomorrow. And Ricky told me, Jackie, you just turned the other cheek. God gave you two for a reason. As much as I believed them, the red that they turned from these heathens would make a lesser man want to be them. But proudly I walked on this field that they told me I was too dark for. The history in my cleats brought me an encore. And you can't erase history ever. The hate that came with the wins was all sticking together. Still in awe. None of that was new to me, though. So it could never define me. Truthfully told, the all-star, the MVP, the world champ. I became who they said me and my nappy curls can't. But bet you they didn't see the vision beyond the pennant race. The opportunities I would literally give away. The agendas I always had in the tank. From chock full of nuts to Freedom National Bank led some of mine to call me an Uncle Tom capitalist. Pardon me for giving you my advantages. Humbly speaking, I cornered the admiring. Made them pay me just to look at my retirement. 50K then, 500K now for every intended K that I hit into the crowd. A life that became sweet as an afternoon of jazz. Scars on my knuckles from them ceilings made of glass. Rep 42 forever, right?
And that is the Brooklyn rapper named Sky Zoo who did that. And the special is going to air tomorrow night, so the off night on FS1. Last night's game was on Fox 11?
On FS1.
Oh, on FS1.
What's the special about?
Is it just like...
He believes that he has got a completely different story about Jackie Robinson. That he has found stuff and his people have researched stuff, and it'll be first ever that we will hear some of the stuff that is in this special about Jackie Robinson.
I mean, if it's about Jackie Robinson, I'm fascinated by that whole story. I went to a play once called An Evening with Mr. Ricky, and it was a guy basically playing Branch Rickey and fighting against the tide because no one wanted Branch Rickey to put a black guy on the field. They just didn't. And he just said, you know, sooner or later it's going to happen, and I want to be the one to do it. And he married himself to it, but boy, did he get a lot of crap for it.
Yeah.
And then it was the dynamic between him and the deal he made with Jackie Robinson was, look, I'm going to put you on the field, and I'm going to take the heat for it, but you can't fight back. You're going to get called every name in the book. You can't fight back. I don't care if they throw at your head, get up, get back in the box. You can't fight back, which is an extraordinary thing to ask somebody to do.
Sure.
I don't know how Jackie Robinson actually pulled it off.
And Rachel, who we've met.
Yeah.
I mean, she was right in the middle of all of it. One of the classiest, most elegant women that we've ever had the pleasure of dealing with.
Michael, you never got to meet Jackie Robinson, right?
No.
I know you've met Muhammad Ali, Joe Louis, Jesse Owens. You never got to meet Jackie,
Didn't ever got to meet Jesse. I always wanted to meet. I'm old enough. I wish I could have met Jackie Robinson and Martin Luther King, but I never got a chance to. That's why I always say baseball should not, the record should be expunged from pre-1947, because that's not a legitimate league. Any league that discriminated and was segregated, it's not whether it's the NBA, NFL, none of that's legitimate.
Well, I mean, you have to look at it in the context
like
of
what?
Time.
Oh, let's make an excuse for it.
No, I'm not making an excuse.
Time schmine.
No, but I mean, there were many Jim Crow laws.
Oh, I know that.
In effect.
Yeah, exactly. I understand that.
I mean, it was a terrible time.
No Asians, Latinos, blacks. It's not a legitimate league.
All right, there you have it, Michael Thompson.
What? Am I wrong?
The final word. No, it's
all right.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. Hey, join 710 ESPN Tiza and White Claw today at Clearman's Galley for our Dodgers watch party. We'll be there from 5 to 8 p.m. giving away prizes, tickets, and more. Clearman's Galley located 7215 Rosemead Boulevard in San Gabriel. And special thank you to White Claw. White Claw delivers a wave of pure refreshment in a variety of flavors. Please drink responsibly. Hard seltzer with flavors. White Claw Seltzer works. Chicago, right. Illinois.
A couple of things. Bergman, what's the status of the Phillies-Braves game? Is it still delayed or did they cancel it?
It is still delayed. They are not going to even talk about it again until about 4:30, 4:45 Pacific time
No
tonight.
One is talking about this game until 4:30.
Well, what that means it's going to run concurrently with the Dodger game.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's getting pushed back.
I'll be watching.
And it may not even run today. So
yeah, because it's in Atlanta, right?
It's in Atlanta. It's raining very hard. It's not supposed to stop raining until about 5 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah, so I could go late. Yeah. Because it's not what we do, we really haven't covered this story. But Nury Martinez, who was the head of the LA City Council, who was embroiled in that horrible audio tape, just quit, just resigned.
Good.
Everybody, including President Biden, was calling on all three.
Are they all gone yet?
I don't know. But she was the one that resigned her presidency of the city council, but didn't resign her seat. She just resigned her seat.
Yeah, absolutely.
2 minutes ago.
Racist stuff they were involved in. All right. Hey, coming up next for you, let's do... Michael, are you a foodie?
Oh, yeah. I love food.
A foodie?
Nobody loves food more than
that. That's right. I've got a list of the biggest foodie cities in America off you, Michael. Yeah. Yeah, you guys have been all these places.
That's right. Especially to Ireland.
Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPNPods. That's Amazon.com/ESPNPods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, getting ready for game two, NLDS, and we got Lakers basketball coming up for you a little bit later on here on 710 ESPN. John Ireland, Michael Thompson on the call, and Michael's hanging out with us today. So, John, do you consider yourself to be a foodie?
Yeah.
Like you like all the foodie things.
Yeah. I could tell you, Michael could too, I could tell you 3 to 5 restaurants in every city we go to.
Okay.
Yeah. Hold, turn your mic on.
The only thing I'm not going to try are crickets. I don't get that part.
I've had crickets.
Ugh. Yeah, they're
very crunchy. They're like potato chips.
Then would you eat a cockroach?
I don't think I would.
Is it fried?
I don't think I would.
What's the difference?
There's a difference between a cricket and a cockroach.
They're both insects.
Cockroaches are really
into poop.
Well, they're just not. They're filthy, right? When you see a cockroach, you're like. But I mean, no. Deep fried crickets are fine.
What are grasshoppers. Deep fried grasshoppers are pretty good too.
Deep fried grasshoppers.
What do they taste like?
Chicken.
Yeah, chicken.
Everything tastes like chicken.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've got a list of the top 5 foodie cities in America.
All right.
I will tell you in advance that Los Angeles is number 15 on this list.
15.
Wow. Surprises me because you can go to a different restaurant in LA every night if you want.
Foodie town.
Well, they don't have Caribbean food over here. Maybe that's why.
Maybe.
No Jamaican, no Bahamian, no Cuban.
Okay, what do you think is the number one foodie city in America?
New York.
San Francisco.
Miami.
Okay.
Gotta be Miami.
You're just blurting out
Texas.
Names, so hang on. Texas.
Dallas. That's a state, buddy.
All right, so there's 4 guesses. Did anyone get it?
You got some of them. San Francisco's number 4.
Okay.
New York is number 18.
Wow. That surprises me.
It is surprising.
What else was said?
Dallas. Miami from
Michael. Said
Miami number 3.
Oh, yeah. Miami's got it all.
Now,
baby.
What's interesting is the number one foodie city is very surprising, but it is an NBA city.
Is it
New Orleans?
No. New Orleans is not on the list, which is weird because New Orleans is the best
known
food
for food. Yeah.
Best food in America.
NBA city is number 1, huh? Is it a West Coast city?
Yes.
Oh, it's a West Coast city. We already said San Francisco.
Portland. Is it Portland?
No. Can't be.
Not Portland.
I mean, come on.
Wow, really?
Portland.
They got listed as
Michael
the number one
Portland.
Foodie city in America.
Why? People have been like tree bark and stuff?
I think there's a difference. Yeah, I mean, there's a difference, though, between.
You lived there for a while.
Oh, I love the
how
food
many,
up there.
How many years were you there?
Oh, good 20. Yeah. So it's like all organic stuff. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think it's organic stuff, and you know they use a lot of amuse-bouches and demi-glazes, and they make everything into a hash and all the stuff I learned on Top Chef.
I never would have thought of Portland, even though the food is good.
Number 2 is one of my least favorite American cities.
Houston.
No, Houston didn't make the list at all. It's Orlando.
Oh,
Orlando is number 2. Do you have restaurants in Orlando?
Well, we just go to the chains. Like, there's a Morton's we've been to.
TGIF.
No, but true story. So remember Mike.
I love Hooters. Don't knock Chili's.
Remember
delicious.
Mike Thompson, our old boss, he used to work here.
I do.
So Michael and I are in China with the Lakers. And Mike Thompson, who's married to a Chinese woman, says, I'm going to take you guys out to get some Peking duck.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, great. He goes, it's a Chinese delicacy. You want to try it? And Michael goes, I can't go. I already have dinner plans with my brother. I said, all right, I'll go. I'll go and try the Peking duck.
Got it.
So I go and I try it, and it's good.
Yeah.
I have a good time. I come back. And so keep in mind, we're in Shanghai. Possibilities are endless.
Beijing.
Was it in Beijing when this happened?
Yeah.
All right. So we're in Beijing, and I come back, and I said, did you go to dinner? He goes, yep. I go, where are you going? Because I don't want to tell you. I went, why? He goes, kind of embarrassed. He goes, why? He goes, my brother picked TGI Fridays.
No, really? You went to TGIF in
Beijing.
Here we are staying in a 7-star hotel. I said, let's just go to the lobby.
Nicest hotel we've ever stayed in.
Let's just go to the hotel.
Let's just get the chicken fingers.
I think it was chicken. I don't think it was so stringy. That might have been.
Could have been anything.
It could have been Rocco.
No. So I'm not a big food. I like to eat, But I tend to eat like just regular I'm not like fancy.
Just standard food. Stuff.
Standard stuff.
American grill stuff.
American, exactly.
So I
like eating American.
Stop me if I've told this story already. We had a
Good point.
We had a night off Saturday night in San Francisco.
Yes.
That was a trip Michael didn't go on. And my college roommate lives in San Francisco. So we wanted to go someplace where we could keep one eye on the USC game.
Right.
Because they were playing Washington State and it was close. And we wanted to get a dinner. So he goes, there's this new steakhouse right next to the Chase Center. And it's getting rave reviews. Let's try it. And we walk in and they hand me the menu. 8-ounce filet.
Let me guess. $70.
$128.
No! 8 ounces?
8-ounce filet.
Woo! Was it Wagyu?
Pork chop.
Yeah.
$100.
Get out of here.
What?
I would walk out of that restaurant.
We did.
Oh, you did?
You did. Good
we
for
had
you.
One drink and good we for left. You. And we went to one of those seafood places on the wharf.
You can get a fantastic steak.
Completely agree
maybe
with you.
Maybe it was $40.
You should at least tasted it.
For Sizzler. $128?
Yeah. Sizzler. What about Outback? Bloomin' Onion,
you
man.
Guys could have like ordered an 8-ounce and shared it. How 4 ounces each?
So we have a friend that works for the Warriors, Raymond Ritter, the best PR guy in the history of sports.
Yep.
And I said, Raymond, what is the deal with this place downstairs? He goes, that place, he said, they heard that a place, I wish I could remember the name of it. He goes, there was a place across town that was charging more for a steak than these guys were. And when they heard about it, they just raised their prices.
Is that right?
So they could say they had the most expensive steak in town.
Was it at Chase Center?
Right below it.
So that means Lakeup owns that. He's charging $172 for a steak. He could afford Draymond.
Yeah, exactly.
See what I mean, Mace?
Hey, we never really did comment on the Draymond to the Lakers thing.
Oh, yeah, Draymond to the Lakers. Lakers are going to have...
Michael, I don't think the Warriors are going to let him go, do
they
you?
Better not. Why would they do that? I mean, he's this heart and soul. I know Steph's the face of the franchise, but Draymond's the heart and soul of that franchise. They better not let him go.
I'm sure any team would love to have him, but in order for the Lakers or any team to get Draymond, the Warriors would have to let him go.
Yeah.
Well, the Lakers are going to have $47 million to play with next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More than that, right? Because only two guys on the contract, really, right? Big contracts, that's LeBron and AD.
Is that right?
After this year, yeah. There may be a couple of young, like Austin Reeves or somebody.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Million here, million there, no big deal.
There may be a couple of player options.
I think Lakers might have like a whole lot of money to spend.
I think the Lakers are going to make a trade in season. I don't know who's going to be involved
in
it. I don't know who's going to be involved in it, but the only
Westbrook?
Well, the only way they wouldn't make a trade in season, because Rob normally makes at least one trade during the year, is if they get out of the gate really, really well and they feel like they've got lightning in a bottle.
By the way.
We'll know after two games because they open against the Warriors and the home opener is against the Clippers.
You know why Joe Lacob's light years ahead of every owner?
He has more money.
Did you see what Phoenix turned down in the Kevin Durant trade? Why they turned it down?
I didn't even hear about it.
According to the Hoops hype, and it's probably true, Phoenix didn't make the deal for Kevin Durant because they didn't want to give up Cam Johnson.
Really?
Are you?
They could have had Kevin Durant
if they would have thrown in Cam Johnson in the deal. Are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh!
That stupidity. Cannot be true. If that's what James Jones turned down.
Yeah.
Oh dear God.
If you put Kevin Durant on that team,
yeah.
Oh.
So you would have had Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and DeAndre Ayton all on the same team. They'd be an overwhelming favorite.
Overwhelming favorite.
I know Cam Johnson's a decent shooter, but he ain't Jason Tatum.
Right.
What?
That's crazy.
I was like, boy, when
Kobe demanded a trade, one of the teams they were talking to was the Bulls.
Yep.
And the Bulls refused to give up Luol Deng.
Luol Deng.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, for Kobe?
We had so much trouble getting rid of Luol Deng.
It took
years to watch that contract stretched out.
People get married to their guys.
So the Suns are getting what they deserve. They turned down Kevin Durant because they don't want to give up Cam Johnson.
All right, coming up next for you, we're going to do some Bobcat. Bergman, how's Bobcat today?
It is the best Bobcat ever.
Excellent.
Award-winning.
That's coming up next, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. All right, so an interesting article in The Athletic today about college basketball. A guy named Kyle Tucker, which I don't even know if anybody in there is listening.
I'm listening. Kyle Tucker.
John has
Kyle
no
Tucker.
Idea what we're talking about.
Any relation to Justin Tucker?
No, totally different person, and he's not the guy on the Astros either.
Tucker.
Kyle Tucker. He's a college basketball writer for The Athletic. Thanks for paying attention.
I am.
I never
pay attention. I never read, always read Kyle Tucker.
Of course, he's a great writer for The Athletic.
Yeah, he's going to be on Sliwa's show tomorrow.
That was only a night. A guy named Kyle Tucker wrote about how that since Coach K, Roy Williams, and Jay Wright are no longer coaching, that John Calipari is the new face of college basketball coaches, and he's 63 years old, meaning not a ton of time left for him, but can keep going for a little bit. Outside of maybe Tom Izzo, who is the face of college basketball when those two retire?
Let's see. Roy Williams is out.
Yeah.
Calipari's still in. Jim Boeheim's still in. Yeah. Tom Izzo's still in.
Right now. So outside of Boeheim.
You got Bill Self in Kansas.
Oh, Bill Self.
Oh, Bill Self is actually a good call.
Every time he takes a picture, you know what it is?
It's selfing.
That's right.
Oh.
Get it, Mace?
Thank you. Yeah, no, I do get it, Mike.
All right. Let's see. Who else?
Mick Cronin.
No, nah, I don't think enough people know who he is.
I think that's it. I think that might be the Mount Rushmore of coaches.
I'll listen to you.
Oh God! Here we go.
Self, Boeheim, Calipari, and
that's kind of it, right?
What about Jay?
Yeah, that really is. Well, you know,
where's Jay Wright?
College basketball.
He's gone.
He retired.
College basketball's gotten very fringy. Like, people don't follow it.
Yeah,
like they
March Madness.
Basically watch the tournament.
Yeah, that's it. I don't watch regular season college basketball. Bergman does. Do you watch regular season?
Very little.
Yeah, very
little. Because we're knee-deep in NBA.
Of course.
You know who's the most fun college basketball player to watch playing right now? Caitlin Clark, young lady from Iowa. She shoots Steph Curry range.
Yeah, wow. They just gave her an NIL deal.
Yeah.
Oh,
She can play. She's
good
gonna
for
be
her.
A, she's going to be the number. I think she's only a junior this year, so she has to wait another year. But boy, she can shoot.
Bobcat.
All right, so in a lot of locker rooms, there are games and a lot of fun stuff to keep the room loose, right? So the Dolphins, for example, have ping pong tables in their locker room.
Yes.
The Dolphins' captains, however, have decided to take them out so that they can focus more on their preparation. Head coach Mike McDaniel praised them for making that decision. What's the right balance between fun and serious for a professional team?
Well, Michael, since you're the only one that's been on a professional team, what do you think?
When you are on your own time, like when there's no practice, you know, like people have to get ready or whatever, you should be able to have fun and goof around, take your mind off the job a little bit, can relax instead of always being on edge and always thinking and overwhelmed, Mace, thinking about the game.
Right.
Ping pong, playing cards, shuffleboard, whatever.
Cribbage.
Bowling allows you to relax. Cribbage, or like you say, bridge.
Bridge. No, bridge. I don't know if bridge is the cribbage. Stuff like that. What about Blu-ray?
Yeah, stuff like that. It allows guys to relax. So, you know, these guys are too uptight. My goodness.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there has to be, you know, there has to be fun involved.
Yeah, some downtime.
Past Dodger teams, you know, remember the bubble machine and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. There's stuff like that that goes on. Loosens things up.
If you could have
things up.
Ping pong tables at military bases, which is dealing with life and death, I think you can have them in football. You don't think this is ridiculous?
I'm terrible at ping pong.
Really?
I always wanted to go to the Clayton Kershaw ping pong thing, but I'm a bad ping pong player.
So what? You know, to be good, you have a partner. That's all for fun. Everybody's giggling and laughing. Fluffy was in it. Fluffy had a good time.
Oh, did Fluffy have fun?
Yeah, Fluffy was there. And the guy from, what's the game from the Jimmy Kimmel show?
Guillermo.
Guillermo was there.
Yeah.
And Guillermo was drinking vodka.
Did you go?
No, I didn't go, but Guillermo was drinking vodka while he was playing. You have a good time.
Tequila, not vodka.
Tequila, that's tequila. Right, tequila. So you know, they had a good time. Go, Mace. Go next year. They'll love to have you there. You and Ireland.
By the way, people on YouTube are saying Mark Few could be the head.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him.
That would be a good
people on YouTube are also saying, I look like I'm from a loony bin dressed today.
You know, if the shoe fits.
Yeah, that's not wrong.
Yeah.
Bobcat.
All right.
Okay, that time of year, I'm getting invites to Halloween parties, and you have to dress with a costume.
Oh,
Mason, you throw parties. Have you had a Halloween party before? And what has been the most elaborate costume you guys have ever worn to a party?
Well, I can't say that I've... Are you a dress-up for Halloween guy, John?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, I like Halloween.
So, like, what's your best costume?
What is the best costume I've ever worn to Halloween? I stole this from the original Karate Kid, the very first movie. I went as a shower. And what you do is you wear a big hula hoop on your head, and you put a shower curtain, and then you bring girls into the curtain and close it.
It's kind of like Karate Kid stuff.
I know. I stole it from Daniel LaRusso in the original Karate Kid.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
How'd you get the hula hoop on your head?
Well, I just
I mean, it's big enough, but how'd you get it on
Have you seen my head?
Yeah.
Just get a piece of tape. Run the thing in the back.
Can I make a confession? I kind of teased this up yesterday, but I hate Halloween.
What's wrong with you?
Really?
I don't like Halloween.
You don't hand out candy
at all.
You just turn your lights off and pretend you're not home?
No, we're on sort of a weird side street, and kids don't come by our house for whatever reason.
Art, you come by my house. It's a giant carnival.
Well, you live in
Mayberry.
You live in Pleasantville. I'm telling you, our neighborhood is so friggin' decked out for Halloween, and I can't stand it. There is a 6-foot diameter spider on this guy's house, and all that gross, like, cottony stuff on by the way, and got wet last night because it rained, and now it's just hanging off the tree. I think Halloween sucks. I've never liked it.
Now,
I've never had.
Halloween's
never will.
Awesome. Yeah, particularly when you're in college.
The most elaborate costume I've ever had on was I played a role in a movie that I produced called Little Devil, and I got made up like a guy that weighed 275
pounds. So you're
basically
pounds. In a fat suit.
So I was in a fat suit. So I had the chin and everything. I tried to find that picture, but that's as elaborate a costume. But Halloween, ugh.
You should have went as an eagle.
It's a falcon.
Because you got the beak for it.
Boy,
I dressed up as
that's annoying, people.
Yeah, I dressed up as a white guy so I can go anywhere I wanted to go.
Bergman, are you a big Halloween guy?
I love Halloween. I don't really dress. The best costume I ever dressed up in was a fat bastard costume from Austin Powers.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And walked around in West Hollywood
Get
where they ended that
belly.
By the way. Yeah, and just walked around that, took so many pictures. It was the greatest costume ever.
Jorge, what were you? One of the three amigos?
No.
Yes. Hey, Michael, can you just stop like one time?
No, I dressed up as a taco one.
Jeez. No, I do not dress up as a rabbi, okay?
I love that movie.
Just putting it out there for you.
That's right.
For reference sake, yeah. the movie The Three Amigos, right. Was it not three white guys?
Exactly. Right,
yeah.
Yes.
So, Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Chevy Chase.
Chevy
right?
Chase, yeah, there you go.
See, that was a great movie. I was Three Amigos 2 would come out.
Oh, man.
Well, Bob Amigos. Cat. Nobody wants to work with Chevy
Bob
Chase.
Cat. That's right. Everybody can't stand Chevy Bob Chase.
Cat. Yeah, exactly. All right, so I'm actually glad that Mason decided to be an old man for this.
Oh, screw you.
Because David Jones on the YouTube stream asked this. Can the Sophie voice and the old man voice have a conversation one day? So let's have them talk about how they feel about.
Well, I don't know what John's voice is. A question.
You can't
hold.
Do the old man though.
No, I can't do any voices.
Oh, you can't do the old man voice.
Yeah, no,
I figured
no
that
funny voices.
Hurt your voice as
he's
much,
gonna but, call. Okay. He's gonna call a game tonight.
Well, yeah,
but Sophie can definitely have a conversation with anyone. Hi, Michael. I'm Sophie. I'm Steve Mason's dog. What do you think?
That's how Sophie would talk.
That's how she talk. That's how I talk.
Sounds like an old. Sounds like an old lady.
I am an old lady. I'm 16 years old. I'm very mature.
No, that just sounds like an old lady who sits at a retirement home.
What do you think I do? I'm 16 years old. I eat and I sleep. That's all I do.
How about Fredo? Do Fredo. Fredo.
What's Fredo sound like?
Yes. I love my sister Sophie. She is such like a good a girl.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Michael, what Rocco sounds like?
Hey, where's my food?
Rocco's a soul brother.
Yeah.
Y'all quit messing with me, man.
Oh, man.
That's all. He just stands by his dish with that look on his face.
Yeah, give me my food.
Give me my food, brother. Give me my food, brother, man.
He's black. Rocco's black.
Bobcat.
What's happening, players?
All right, so MLB has a new official partner, Charlotte's Web. And no, not the beloved book about the spider. Charlotte's Web is a CBD company, and they are now the official CBD partner of MLB.
Okay.
This has to be a huge step for sports in general, right?
It is. I mean, CBD, Michael, is... So the cannabis is composed of THC,
right,
which is what gets you high, and CBD, which has got all kinds of health benefits to it.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not opposed to that.
But this is the first step of cannabis becoming, once it's federally legal, an official sponsor of professional sports leagues.
Oh, jeez. You can't do that.
What do you mean, oh, jeez?
So what? Now, guy's going to be in the locker room getting high because it's endorsed by the leagues?
You work in the NBA, Michael.
Yeah. But wait a minute. CBD doesn't get you high.
No, CBD not get you high.
But I'm talking about now they get the real cannabis endorsements.
What?
Come on.
I see wine commercials. I see beer commercials. I see liquor commercials. I see all that stuff.
Again.
Michael, my wine is different from yours.
No, because my wine doesn't get me high.
Sure it does.
Oh, if I drank four glasses, yeah.
Wait a minute. Why do you think I'm sitting around high as a kite all the time?
Because
I'm not.
You get high.
It's like a glass of wine.
You get high off of one chewable. I can drink a glass of wine and I'm not high.
John, are you high after one chewable?
I just go to sleep.
You just go to sleep, yeah. No, it's possible to imbibe without becoming overwhelmed.
Really?
Of course. Of course, Michael.
But could you drive after chewing?
No, I would never
drive.
Well,
there you go.
I would never drive even after one glass of wine. I am unbelievably weird about this, but after one glass of wine, after any sort of cannabis product, I would never get behind a wheel.
From Clearman's Galley Uber. That day. Did you leave your car there?
Yeah, I left my car there. Wow. Went back the next day.
By the way,
I Ubered.
I heard how much
it was the most expensive Uber ride I've ever had.
Yeah. I heard how much Slee was drinking at the game. He didn't drive after the game, did he?
I don't know.
I think Lady Slee may have driven.
She must, because he said he had like 8 beers.
No, did he really?
Yeah.
Because he drank those. I'd love to see Slee after. No,
he did Slee have 8 beers?
He ordered 5
week?
Of those cans, and those are two beers each. He said he had 5 large. Beers. Yeah. So I was thinking, well, I hope you didn't drive home.
No,
so,
I'm sure Lady Slee drove.
Yeah. While he was asleep in the backseat.
Lady Slee, by the way, beautiful girl.
Really?
She is beautiful.
She's beautiful.
What's she look like?
Oh, I met her at the Mandy's. Very attractive.
Yeah, very.
Which actress does she
You would have met her at the Mandy's if you were there, Michael.
Which actress?
Next year. Well, because somebody famous. Who does she look like? Who does she resemble?
I'm trying
Jennifer
to
Aniston?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, Queen Latifah.
No, not Queen Latifah.
You never know. She's a beautiful lady.
Yeah,
Michael. What? She's pretty.
Bobcat.
Yeah, we'll move on. All right, so this is more of a John story.
Okay.
Jamie
Excellent.
Lee Curtis wants to do a Freaky Friday remake with Lindsay Lohan. So, John, how quickly are you getting to the theater for this train wreck?
I will find a way to finagle my way into the
movie
premiere.
Set?
Premiere, yeah. And by the way, Greg, I'm glad you brought this up because Lindsay Lohan, think about this. Her last movie was basically an rated X, that Canyons. It was unbelievable.
Oh, what's it called?
No, it's called The Canyons. It's like it was NC-17 or X or something. It was really racy. And now she's doing a Christmas movie on Netflix. So she's back, Greg, in the family-friendly movie world.
Christmas movie is kind of the last chance saloon for actors.
Well, you know, it's countdown to Christmas on Hallmark starting
at the
end of this
girls,
month. I do.
So Lindsay or Kate Beckinsale?
You had a date. Kate's not crazy.
Well, but if he had a date, which one would you go out on?
Kate.
Kate over Lindsay?
Kate's is everything.
Yeah. Kate's the one.
Kate is everything.
Yeah. But Lindsay would be in the top 5.
Jamie Lee Curtis, by the way, has got a movie coming out on Friday. It is Halloween the Last, Halloween the Final, Halloween. I think they're actually
the
calling
end?
It Halloween the End. Yeah, there you go.
This
Halloween
is
the End.
The End.
And Jamie Lee Curtis is in the best movie so far of 2022.
Which is
called Everything Everywhere All at Once. It is fantastic. It's Jamie Lee Curtis, Michelle Yeoh.
Michelle Yeoh, former Bond girl.
Yeah, you go check that movie out.
Okay.
Have you seen it, Jorge?
No.
But it's fantastic.
Do they promise it's the end?
No.
No more.
Really? They will not make that promise. You can't kill Michael Myers.
Really? I know.
No, he'll be back. He'll be back next year.
But you know what? They should just burn him up because nothing survives a fire.
I think they've done that before.
They've done that? They've burned him up, too?
They've done any way. He's died every way you can think
of. He's been to space. Oh, no, that's Jason.
Jason went to space and came back?
You can't kill the boogeyman.
Really?
Yeah,
Jason in space is like an eighth one.
Jason X, I think, wasn't it? Jason X.
If Jason and Michael Myers had a fight, who would win?
That movie was made, wasn't it?
It did that. Yes.
They did?
Yeah, they did. Jason versus Michael Myers in an actual movie.
Who won?
I don't know who won. Does anybody
know? I think they like teamed up. I don't know.
It was a tie. They're still making movies.
It never ends. Right.
It's just going to keep coming. All right.
Bobcat.
I'm curious from you, Michael. Are you scared of like witchcraft?
Yeah, there's some evil stuff in this world, man.
Okay.
That stuff is real.
I want to play something for you and I'm going to ask you if this particular mother is overreacting. We'll do that coming up next. And of course, game 2, NLDS tonight. It is Yu Darvish on the mound for the Padres versus Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers. Great game last night for the Dodgers as they take a commanding 1-0 series lead in the NLDS. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.